We're in chapter 5, and we are ready for the 29th verse this morning. We only covered one verse last week. The Lord willing, maybe we'll finish the chapter this morning. We'll see. I'm going to read verses 25 through 28 as an introduction to verse 29. And we read before, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And so this brings us to verse 29. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Sometimes we have to meditate on what we have read and what it means. Well, this instruction concerning marriage makes marriage beautiful. It does. But speaking spiritually, the church is Christ's body. And he loves his own. So he loves his body. And Christ only knows one people. Those that are his. Those that he has purchased with his own shed blood. And I always like the scriptures that we read when he says, "They're mine." Well, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then in verse 14 of that same chapter, he says, "I know my sheep and am known of mine." Don't you like that word? We belong to him. And he said, he claims us. We're his. They're mine. Verse 3 of that same chapter in John, it says, "He calleth his own sheep by name." He knows you individually. Yes. And there is a verse in 2 Timothy 2:19 that I love. I've always liked that verse. And it says, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." And the reason why I find that verse so precious, concerning those that I know that are believers, but they're not yielded to the Lord. They're kind of far from him because they have gone the way of the world, but he knows them. They belong to him. They may be living after the ways of the world. They may be in some false organization, some system like that. But if they're saved, he knows them. And he seeks to bring them unto himself. So the statement, "Husbands, love your wives," it says, husbands loving their wives. They're loving themselves. They're loving their own body. Well, does that not figure Christ and his love for his body, his people? The wife is a part of the husband because they've been joined together in the Lord. that we're just going to jump ahead to verse 31 of this chapter, and it says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." So it is true, he that loveth his own wife loveth himself. You're one. You're one. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now these words, nourish and cherisheth, it is like a mother that cares for her children. The word nourish means to rear to oneself, and the word cherish means to foster, to warm in one's bosom. A true husband watches over his wife with tender love and care, comforting her when it's needed, supplying her needs. Yes, a true husband. Does this not picture Christ and his care for the church? He nourishes us. He feeds us. He trains us. He fosters us, comforting us in his arms, supplying our needs, both spiritually and materially. I can say amen to that. How good he is to me. Psalms 103, verse 14 says, "He knoweth our frame." He remembers that we are but dust. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He cares for us. We're on his heart. He is our faithful high priest. Verse 30 of our chapter, "For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones." Just think about all of the ones who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ during this church age. All believers that have believed on him during this church age are the members of his mystical body, the church. And did we not read when we were studying chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23? Says, "And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Yes. Now, someone will say, "Well, doesn't Jesus have a body?" Well, yes. He has a body of flesh and bone. And it's a glorified body. And after his resurrection, did he not say to his disciples, "Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." That's found in Luke 24:39. There's no blood in that glorified body. No, no blood. It was poured out, shed for you and for me. And when the Lord raises our bodies from the grave, in that future time, we're going to have a glorified body also, just like his body. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. No blood, but glorified. Praise the Lord. Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. God did ordain marriage. He performed the first marriage when he joined Adam and Eve. And that typifies the wedding that's going to take place in heaven of his son and of his son's wife, of his bride. And you know, John saw this in vision, and in chapter 19 of Revelation and verse 7 it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Yes, yielding to him, her head. You know, the Holy Spirit is teaching us something here in this portion of Scripture, and it's teaching us of a great mystery. Thank the Lord for the mysteries that God has revealed unto us. This is a great mystery. Adam said of Eve, when God brought Eve unto him, he said, is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Let us read that verse 30 of our chapter again. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Don't you find all that awesome? I do. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, it's speaking of the church glorious. That church, that group from the church that we find in verse 27, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God is doing a work in believers today. He is growing us up in Christ. He is fitting us to be the glorious bride of the Lamb. Have you gotten the calling? Does it grip your heart? Oh, praise the Lord. I surely hope so. I remember the time that it gripped my heart. That's for me. Before I had thought foolishly, oh, that's for Sister Bodie. That's for Sister Mooneyhan. But as the word went forth, it pierced my heart. It's for me. It's for me. Praise the Lord. Well, many are sleeping spiritually today, talking about believers. The Laodicean condition is among us in these last days of this church age. I believe we're in the last days of this church age. We can even see God's already beginning to do a dealing among the Jews. We're in a transition period. But this church age is about to end. And there are so many of God's people who are sleeping spiritually, indifferent to the things of God. His people, indifferent to the things of God. Neglecting the assembling of the saints together. We find that in Hebrews 10:25. letting the things of this world replace our first love for Christ. That's found in Revelations 2:4. And I have noticed something, that when just one lets down, others follow. Is our testimony important?
Yes.
It is important. Let's read verse 14 of our chapter. Therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We talk about the coming of Jesus. We might even say, oh, it's soon. But do we act like we believe it? You know, Christ shall have a bride. It's God's purpose, and he shall have a bride. But not all believers are going to qualify. The spiritual saint loves his appearing. We find that in 2 Timothy 4:8. The spiritual ones are running to win Christ. He is the prize. Philippians 3:14. Christ's bride is being built right now. During this church age. And saints are choosing their rank, whether they believe in ranks or not. That's true. We read in the Songs of Solomon of the choice one of her mother, Mother Grace, the choice one of her mother. And there in the Songs of Solomon, she hears her heavenly Solomon. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? Just as sure as God took a rib out of Adam's body, and then we read in the New Testament, it's speaking of Christ's body. Just as sure as he took that rib out of Adam's body while he was asleep, so God is separating a company of believers from the church, the body of Christ, today. And the body is not aware of it. In Genesis 2:22, in the King James Version, it says, God made a woman of the rib from Adam's body. You look up the Hebrew text, and it says, he builded a woman. Yes, the bride is being builded today. It's being builded of the saints that are actually helpless and dependent upon the Lord in every way. We read in Revelations 3:8 of those that says they have a little strength. But we read in Ephesians 6:10, but they are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise the Lord. Christ filling the vision. Is he filling your vision? And such ones find their satisfaction in him. Not in the world, but in him. 1 Corinthians 9:24, we read, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. I like that last line. The admonition is so run. Not just knowing about the race, not just even knowing about the prize, but so run that ye may obtain the prize. Win Christ. Well, we've come to our closing verse of the chapter. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Well, naturally speaking, to have such a husband who's caring and loving, the wife certainly is going to be, she's going to reverence him. But we want to think of this spiritually. Yes. This word reverence has the meaning. It has several meanings. It's according to how it's used, which meaning applies. And it means to be in awe, exceedingly reverent. Well, we desire to pour out our love to him, don't we? Because he loves us, because he loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. How awesome is his love and his care of you and his care of me. All as I can say is Selah. You know what that means? Meditate on this. Think upon it. And the Lord bless your heart. Let's sing a song in closing.